Vedika Chaitanya Kripa Mahabala Tara Anusatana Vina Kaya Sapala. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Prabhu Baleke Tumi Karela Morahita Achambite Asipyao Krishna Ilamrita. Finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden, you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna." So what king did, for a long time he desired to receive Mahaprabhu's darshan, but king would try and try and ask different devotees close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to approach Mahaprabhu and ask for his permission for the king to come and receive his darshan. But Mahaprabhu didn't want it to receive the king. He didn't want it to have any relationship with, like he would put it, a mundane-minded people whose life is only about enjoyment. And the king, a position of the king is about, fits a description, because the king is always surrounded by the opulence, power, women, and his life is full of mundane enjoyments. So, just to show an example how the renunciate should act, Mahaprabhu was refusing continuously requests from the king to receive his audience. But at the same time, king was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu knew about it. So the devotee tried to arrange that meeting one way or another. So when the chance came, King Pradaparudra was there during the Ratha Yatra festival, and also Mahaprabhu saw him sweeping the road in the front of Lord Jagannath chariot, acting like a humble person, like a sweeper. Mahaprabhu was already attracted to that. And then he was resting in the garden and in ecstatic, like he was in a very deep ecstasy. And then the devotees of Mahaprabhu, they arranged for king to come there and recite shlokas about Krishna pastimes. And when Mahaprabhu heard those shlokas, he felt even more ecstasy, and in the ecstasy he embraced the king, thus accepting him as his devotee, and asked him, "Please continue, please chant more, you are my best friend." So this is the situation right now. The king is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that garden. Gopi Gita. Akathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhya viditam kalma sapanam svapana mangalam shimaratpatam bhuvi grinam bhuridu jannaha. My Lord, the nectar of your words and the description of your activities are like the life and soul of those who are always aggravated by material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears those narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. So this is the verse that King recited. And after reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the king and cried, "You are the most munificent, you are the most munificent." At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't know who the king was. Actually, that verse was recited by Mahaprabhu and not the king. So without even recognizing the king's identity, Mahaprabhu accepted him as the dearmost friend. After he heard the recitation of Krishna pastimes from the king. And immediately Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy without any condition. So that's why they say, how powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. So he didn't care. who that person was. That person was a devotee in his eyes. So Mahaprabhu immediately accepted him, regardless of his position, even though before he was rejecting him continuously.
What is mercy? Mercy.
What is the mercy of Mahaprabhu? Or in general?
We always hear that mercy from above, mercy from below.
It's actually quite a deep subject. We can explore the depths of mercy. So different types of mercy, different depths of mercy. When someone is very, not even friendly, but more deeply so, have a special sympathy to you, and in their desire, in their wish, they want to share something with you or give you something without any condition, something valuable. This is called mercy. Seeing somebody's situation, those who have more, willing to share that out of their sympathy. So that's called mercy. Something is that coming to you from those people, something valuable they're giving to you, even though you might not be qualified to receive that, still they're giving you. So this is called mercy. Out of affection, love, sympathy, they're giving something extremely valuable. And sometimes they don't even completely conscious about it. They just feel some love and affection towards some person and they're sending their good wishes, or again they're giving something very valuable to that person. That's called mercy. Something that we are not always deserve, you can say. Like sometimes we say it's causeless mercy. This mercy doesn't have any reason to descend, but still we're receiving that, so causeless. We're not qualified to receive it, yet we're receiving it. So in the case of the devotees and the Lord, mostly it is causeless mercy. They're naturally merciful. This is the nature of Lord Himself and His servitors, to be very merciful, very loving and affectionate to other living beings. So as soon as they see someone is stepping forward and desiring to receive something, to experience something higher, immediately they feel sympathy, they feel love and they feel affection towards that person, and they're ready to share whatever they have. They're not keeping anything for themselves. No, the devotees are very open that way. Whatever they have, they're ready to share. Not stingy. Giving everything right away. The question is, are we ready to receive that or not? That's another thing. But they're always giving. That's the nature of the devotee, giving nature, not taking. Sharing and giving. More they receive, more they want to give. Well, of course, they don't think they receive anything, but still, some inspiration is coming from the heart, and then they want to share something that somehow comes to them. A normal, mundane person would keep something valuable for themselves. They wouldn't share, they wouldn't rush to share that. They will be keeping it in storage somewhere. And sometime come and look at it and enjoy the beauty of it. But devotees are not like that. As soon as something wonderful comes to them, they immediately they want to share it. If you can relate to that more, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept of Guanyin.
Guanyin?
Yes. It's a bodhisattva of infinite compassion, or infinite mercy. Always giving with full heart, helping all the fallen souls. In China, it's a very popular subject. You're familiar with that?
No.
So you know what? Some devotees like that.
So just giving like everything?
Giving everything. We're not talking about mundane riches. Giving spiritual values. Spiritually valuable things. That's what we're talking about. Mundane things we're not so interested. Even though sometimes we receive something from the devotees, which is material, like water, for example, that also comes as mercy, because in a way we see it. It's all in consciousness. It's the consciousness world. The way we receive it, we take it as a mercy of the devotee, as prasadam. It's a very wide thing. Everything that comes to us, we're normally taking as prasadam. Prasadam means mercy, basically. Not just food. Like the other day, Devashish was describing the esoteric meanings, inner meaning, or deeper meaning of prasadam. Someone asked him that question. But normally we relate it to food. I mean, our daily breakfast, lunches, and dinners that we're taking, and snacks too. Or whatever we receive from devotees in the form of food, but actually everything we receive in our devotional life, and now even in our regular life, whatever comes to us is prasadam of the devotees, or prasadam of the Lord. Everything is by His grace, by His mercy. Nothing happens without Him. But whatever favorable we get, we should always consider that this is the mercy of the Guru and mercy of the Vaishnavas. Whatever is favorable for devotional life, for spiritual life. And sometimes something unfavorable coming, and that is our own karma that we have to suffer through. That's why one of the advices is to stick to favorable things, accept the favorable, and reject the unfavorable. So we have to differentiate that way. How to differentiate, again, comes to the question of mercy. By the grace of the devotees, by the mercy of the devotees, they will teach us, they will guide us how to do that. And then we can learn how to accept favorable things for our life, spiritual life, and reject something that is not favorable, not helpful, harmful for our life. So mercy is a very wide subject. And in fact, we're all living by the mercy. If no mercy, then how can we continue? If not that unconditional, without any reason, mercy come to us in our life, then how can we continue? It's impossible. We're always living, hoping for that mercy to come. That's how we're going on. You get the idea?
We cannot
survive. It's impossible. No survival is possible. We'd be dead pretty fast. That's why it's so important in all the scriptures and all the devotees, all the gurus, they're stressing the point of importance of association with the devotees. Because through them you can have, you can come in contact with the higher reality, with Krishna Himself. That is only possible by the grace of the devotee. So without devotees, nothing is possible. Without mercy, nothing is possible. But ourselves, we don't have anything. So we're useless completely. We're beggars. We have no money. Nothing to buy. We can only beg for it. Something is coming to us because devotees are very loving and affectionate to each other. Mm-hmm. Talking about special mercy here.
Different levels of mercy. Different levels of mercy.
Yeah? There's lots of gradations in everything. There's small mercy, middle, There's big mercy, very big mercy, very, 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 very big mercy. Yes, there's lots of gradations for sure. Depending on from whom it's coming, the power of the mercy as well. Yeah, it's not just blue and white. It's very complex. Like a pure Vaishnava devotee is able to give you so much mercy that your advancement will be very fast, even though you're not really realizing that what is happening to you, but somehow it is happening by the mercy, by the grace of that Vaishnava devotee who is very pure, who is very dear to the Lord. Other devotees who are not on that stage yet, they can also give you some mercy, but it will help you without a doubt to continue, but there is some gradations in the strength as well. Srila Govinda Maharaj used to say that a qualification of the guru, his spiritual qualification, will reflect the advancement of his disciple. Depending on how qualified the guru, then disciple will advance accordingly. If guru is very qualified and he is very dear to the Lord and he is the purest devotee of the Lord, then advancement of the sincere disciple and faithful disciple will be very fast. If guru is on a lower level, then it will be slower. But still he will do some advancement. And if he is sincere enough, then Krishna will promote that sincere Vaishnava to a higher position and he will be able to give more guidance to his disciples. But there is this gradation. When all of us can act as a gurus.
От ученика
все зависит.
Если зависит еще и от квалификации гуру.
Все это взаимозависимо. Это не отношение так и так. Ты мне, а я тебе ничего не дам. Я ученик, я бесполезен, давай учи меня. Так и бывает. Зависит от искренности веры ученика и также от квалификации гуру, от его искренности, от его веры. Who wants to ask me a question? Is there anything the disciple can do? Something depend on the disciple as well. I said, yes, the disciple has to have some qualifications as well. He needs to be sincere and faithful and act according to the guru's instructions and sincerely try to practice. This is the responsibility of the disciple. It is also described in scriptures that both disciple and guru have to examine each other. But that's a very subtle thing. We shouldn't consider, disciples should not consider guru to be an ordinary man. So from one sense we cannot examine the guru. We're not in that position. We're to take a complete shelter of the guru and consider him to be non-different from the Lord himself. That is the responsibility of the disciple. But also we have to be aware of different gradations. It's a very subtle thing. But quite often borders the Vaishnava or Guru offense if we're getting into too much analysis. But if we're humble enough to accept our own situation, our own position as to be an infant, spiritual infant, then what can we analyze? We have no ability. But somehow Krishna is giving us this special ability to see if and feel if the guru is taking you into the right direction. Because everything guru says is confirmed by the scriptures. So if he says something that is very different from the scriptures or from the previous acharyas, then in this case you can question the position of the guru. But not directly, but approaching other senior personas. And then they can try to harmonize something. But again, this is not our case. We don't have to think about it so much. We've been blessed by a very qualified and very dear to the Lord Vaishnavas who are guiding other devotees as their spiritual instructors, as their gurus. But in very rare and unfortunate cases, when guru taking a different path, diverting from the pure line, then we can question that by approaching other Vaishnavas and submitting our inquiry, saying that I'm seeing something that is not matching the scriptures or not matching the our previous acharyas. Can you please help me to understand that? Because sometimes gurus, they can also contribute something new that was never heard before. And we might get confused, oh, we cannot find anything like that in the scriptures. But since we have this faith in our gurus, and that main line they're following is still pure, then we have to accept it as it is. Because Vaishnavas, they're also called living scriptures. And sometimes the scriptures reveal themselves through the Vaishnava. You may not find it in the book, in the printed version of the scripture, but that Vaishnava will reveal the inner meaning of that. That is not written, but you can still hear it from him. But by being faithful and accepting him absolutely as your spiritual instructor, spiritual master, then you will accept whatever he is saying. And like Srila Gurudev used to say, like sometimes Srila Sridhar Maharaj will say things that are quite revolutionary, that no one ever heard before about in Vaishnava society. And then Gurudev would protect the opinion of his Guru Maharaj, saying that if Guru Maharaj is saying that, that it must be there. It's our problem that we cannot see that. But if he says that, then it must be there. After a while they would find a scriptural support to whatever Guru Maharaj was saying. But for Gurudev it was absolute truth already. Just to defend him in the eyes of the public, or in front of other Vaishnavas gathered there, he would try to find scriptural supports. But for him it was not necessary to do so, because he had a full faith in Srila Guru Maharaj. And Srila Guru Maharaj concepts were quite, I would say, deep. And some of them, elaboration on some of them, was never heard. It was hidden. But by his grace, by his mercy, it was revealed to everyone. Even to not qualified people. Like Srila Govinda Maharaj once said that you're giving to these Westerners, you're giving so much. In fact, you're giving so much that you never give us to us. I mean, we're hearing that from you. But how come we never heard this from you before? You're telling this to the Westerners, but you didn't give it to us. Such is the extent of the mercy of the Vaishnava. They're giving something very, very valuable. So our responsibility is to try to realize that, how valuable is this, and to accept it in a proper mood. That is our responsibility as disciples.
Шрила
Гуру Махарадж, когда он давал объяснение Гайатри, Шрила Говинда Махарадж сказал, что то, что вы даете сейчас этим...
А, да, сейчас вспомнил.
Вспомнил быстро. Раджакахи ами томара дасара анудаса бриттира бриттакар эй мора аса. The king replied, My Lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants. This is when Mahaprabhu would come to his external consciousness and ask him, Who are you? Who are you, that person who give me the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna when I most needed it? Tabe Mahaprabhu Tandre Aishwarya Dekhaila Karinala Kahibe E Nishida Karila. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed some of his divine opulences to the king, and he forbade him to disclose this to anyone. So Mahaprabhu revealed his true divine identity to the king at that moment, and said to him, please keep it secret, don't talk too much about what you just saw to other people. Rajahena Jana Kampu Nakaila Prakasha Antare Sakala Janama Bahire Udasa. Although within his heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew everything what was happening, externally he did not disclose it. Nor did he disclose that he knew that he was talking to the King Pratapradhara. Of course, Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knew everything, that it was a king, and everything was known to him, but such is his inconceivable pastime, that he didn't show the sign of recognizing the king immediately.
The king, he was sweeping in the public.
Yes, in the front of the chariot.
Then everyone else can also see that Sri Mahaprabhu
showed
himself.
No, he was at the moment, that happened before. Mahaprabhu saw him sleeping. And then later on, when Mahaprabhu was resting in the garden, this is when the king approached Mahaprabhu and started reciting shlokas, describing Krishna pastimes, because Mahaprabhu was in this deep ecstasy, experiencing deep ecstasy after the dancing and chanting in front of Lord Jagannath. This is how it happened.
Mahaprabhu rejected him many times and he still approached him.
Yes, devotees never give up. There was a devotee named Mukunda, and there was always some very special pastimes in the house of Shivas Pandit. They had these very special kirtans with Mahaprabhu and his very close associates behind the closed doors. And one day, Mahaprabhu, he said, I will show you my divine form. And according to your realization, according to your devotional mood, you will see me in a different way. Someone might see me as Lord Ramachandra, someone who has devotion to Lord Narasimhadev will see me like Lord Narasimhadev. Those who were devotees of Lord Varaha, you will see like Lord Varaha. So Mahaprabhu was revealing his divine form to those devotees, and then Mukunda, he was behind the doors, not inside of the house, and he was lamenting, crying, saying, when I shall receive the darshan, divine darshan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then devotees heard that, and then they presented his plea, his prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mukunda is waiting there. He is not there to enter. And he is asking you, when will he receive your darshan? And Mahaprabhu answered, tell him that after crores and crores of birth, he will receive my darshan. Crores means millions and millions of birth, he will receive my darshan. But the devotees went outside and they said what Mahaprabhu told them to say to Mukunda. And when Mukunda heard that after millions and millions of years, I'm sorry, lives, he will receive the darshan of Mahaprabhu, he started dancing in ecstasy. He said, oh, then I can wait, it's nothing. Millions and millions of life is nothing compared to what will come to me in the form of darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu realized, Mahaprabhu is in the heart of everyone, so he realized this thinking of Mukunda. Immediately he said, bring Mukunda here, his millions of life already passed, now he is qualified to receive my darshan. So devotees never give up. Like imagine if right now you ask, when shall I become qualified to receive the darshan of the Lord, and then you will receive the message after millions and millions of life selection. What will be your reaction to that? Give up. I don't want to do anything anymore. It's all useless. It's impossible in this life. But Mukunda was so happy to receive that gift. Only billions of lives, nothing. He was dancing in ecstasy because of this. So such is the mood of the devotee. How can you give up? A children will never give up trying to find a way back home. Still, they will try and try and try and try. We are the children of that world. We are the children of the nectar. And we're always looking for that nectar. In a way, we become junkies. Junkies. Junkies for the spiritual nectar, not for any other.
Pradaparudra Bhagyadekhi Bhaktigane Rajare Prasam Shiseba Anandita Mane. Seeing the Lord's special mercy upon King Pradaparudra, the devotees praise the Lord's good fortune and their minds become open and blissful. Dandavat Kari Raja Bahire Chalila Yoda Hasta Kari Sabha Bhaktare Vandila. Submissively offering prayers to the devotees with folded hands and offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king went outside. Matkyanha Karila Prabhu Lana Bhaktagana Vaninatka Prashadalana Kaila Agamana. After this, Vaninath Rai brought all kinds of prasadam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted lunch with the devotees. Sarvabhama Ramananda Vanihatidiya Prasadapattala Raja Bahotakariya. The king also sent a large quantity of prasadam through Sarvabhama Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai and Vaninath Rai. Balagandhi Bhoge Ke Prasada Uttamananta Nisakadi Prasada Ayala Yaranahi Anta. The prasadam sent by the king had been offered at the Balagandhi festival and included uncooked milk products and fruits. It was all of the finest quality and there was no end to the variety. The king sends this all uncooked prasadam to the Lord. And there's going to be a long list of it. Chanapana Paida Amra Narikel Kantala Nanavita Katalaka Arabijatala. There were curd, yogurt, fruit juice, coconut, mango, dried coconut, jackfruit, various kinds of bananas and palm fruit seeds. Naranga Chalangataba Kamala Bijapura Banama Chohara Draksha Pindakara Jura. There were also oranges, grapefruits, tangerines, almonds, dried fruit, raisins and dates. Manohara Ladu Adi Sadaka Prakara Amrita Gutika Adi Krisarasa Para. There were hundreds of different types of sweetmeats, like Manohar Ladu. Manohar means a mind-stealing ladu, something that enchants your mind. It's that tasty. Actually, Srimati Radharani is the best cook of Manohar Ladus, as it's described in the scriptures. Once you try them, they will steal your mind completely. And prasadam is generally of that quality. Seriously, so many devotees they join because they tried prasadam. So it's a qualification of prasadam to be manohar, to enchant your mind, capture your mind, steal it. So you'll forget about everything else. The mind is always hankering, always desiring some enjoyment, always looking for that. That is his function. But once mind tried some really tasty prasadam, then he forgets about everything else. All he wants to have is prasadam. So this is how many devotees have been captured. And I know so many.
He knows one thing, that some people are particularly addicted to one kind.
Yes, but it's a mundane food. It doesn't make them devotees. Prasadam means something prepared by the devotee and with love and affection offered to the Lord. Then it becomes prasadam, prasadam of the Lord. Or sometimes we have Vaishnava prasadam, something that's been giving to the Vaishnava and then Vaishnava is sharing it. That is Vaishnava prasadam. So it's saturated with that love and affection, attached by the transcendental leaves of the Lord. Then how powerful is that substance is? I mean, in my life, I experience miracles that are connected to prasadam, like true miracles. There's no way you're going to see anything like that, even with the most tasty mundane food. It's impossible.
2 p.m.
Today, right?
Yeah. That's coming.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's coming at 2.
So, to illustrate the power of prasadam, we had this Nagar Sankirtans going every second day in St. Petersburg in the beginning of the 90s, when the perestroika started and the country opened up and devotees were allowed to chant on the streets. So we're very, very enthusiastic. Something that wasn't possible for us in the past became possible. So we started chanting every second day, every other day. And then, as you can expect, the crowds of people would gather around us while we chant. And we would always distribute some prasadam, milk sweets, to those devotees to those people who just stand there and watch us dancing and chanting. And sometimes we offer some books, and they would take prasadam or buy some books. Sometimes they wouldn't even take prasadam, but the fortunate souls would try it. And there was one policeman who would always chase us away. Every time we would come, he would always chase us away, ask us to leave immediately. He was very bad natured, had a very bad character. So we tried in different ways to give him prasadam, but he wouldn't take it. He'd ask, just take it away, your food, and I'm not interested in it. So we were thinking, how can we capture this guy? Or how we can at least soften him, but he wouldn't bother us anymore. So one day we had this young female devotee, one Didi. She just joined the mission and she was very young and beautiful, very attractive. And we thought, oh, okay, let her give the prasadam, because she is so beautiful and young, then people will not reject. Just because they feel some attraction towards her, they will try some prasadam. So we're giving the sweets. So she was having the sweets and giving to everybody. All men were taking the sweets, trying to chat with her. Naturally, we were so happy. And then finally this policeman came again and said, get out, don't just stand here. And then she approached the policeman and smiled to him and offered some sweets. And then we could see the transformation right away. And the policeman said, I didn't see you before. And then we started talking. And then finally he took one piece of sweets and ate it. And then she gave him more, and then maybe 4 or 5 pieces he ate. And he mellowed down immediately. He said, okay, today I will give you the permission. So you can dance and sing, no problem. Are you coming next time? She said, yes, of course I'm coming. So after a while, I went for preaching in Siberia. And I was away for about a month or two, I don't remember. And at that time, there were so many people were joining every day. So every time we come back to the temple, we see new faces. More Prabhus, more Didis joined that we never saw before while we were away. And then I'm having prasadam hall with all the devotees, and then suddenly I'm seeing this face. It's obviously a new face to the temple. He was not a member of the ashram. And I just cannot place this face anywhere. Then finally I'm so perplexed. I'm wondering, who is this guy? So I'm asking my friend, who is this guy? I feel that I saw him somewhere. I say, hey, remember that policeman who was always bothering us? He's a Hare Krishna devotee now. So he became a devotee. He was sitting there already shaved, with the kurta and dhoti. Now, till this day he's a devotee. So such is the power of Lord's mercy in the form of food. That's why sometimes people ask me, why is so much importance giving to food in these books? And every time we hear description of the feast, it's so elaborate. What is giving, what kind of preparation, what is the taste of those preparations? And at the entry of Krishnaski Vraj Goswami, he would always say, actually I cannot fully describe what was offered. Even though he described so many different preparations in so many different ways. And then at the end he's saying, actually, I'm unable to describe it. So wonderful. So people always wondering why so much importance to the food. But like famous devotee of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Professor Shanyal, and the other day Devashish Prabhu also mentioned that story. But his brother visited the mat and they had this argument. Said that I'm looking at you and you're like, you know, not different from regular people, mundane people. You're doing the same thing. You're sleeping, you're eating. Sanjana said, no, we're not eating. But I said, how come? We just had lunch. I just saw all of you eating there. I said, no, this is not eating. We're honoring prasadam. We're accepting the Lord. We're taking whatever was given to us, left to us by the Lord. That is we're taking, but not just regular food. Not like you go to a restaurant order. That we're not interested in. That's eating. But we're honoring prasadam. That's different. That is the difference here. All these wonderful things meant for the Lord enjoyment, whatever is coming to our hands, that is wonderful, automatically we offer to the Lord. So food is something that we are facing every day, we're taking it every day. We have to deal with this every day. And when we prepare something nice, automatically we want to offer to the Lord first. That is the heart of the devotee. Immediately he is giving everything to the Lord, whatever good he has. And of course, sometimes I'm feeling not qualified, or maybe it's not so tasty, but such is the nature. And the Lord is very merciful too. He's not eating everything. Sometimes he does. There's some stories. And sometimes very dear devotees of the Lord offer something to him, and then he eats everything. And then they're in trouble because nothing left. And then they offer again he eats. Because the love of soul, the love of the devotee captures the Lord so much that he cannot resist. That devotee wants to feed the Lord. He wants to see the Lord eating those foodstuffs that he is offering. The Lord is complying, taking everything. But usually he is leaving everything to us, tasting it and then giving it, returning it to us. So there were hundreds of different types of sweetmeats, like Manohar Ladu, sweets like Amrita Kutika, and various types of condensed milk. Various types of condensed milk. Normally we know only one type of condensed milk. But there are different ways of condensing it, and putting different flavors into it. In Russia we have two types of condensed milk, a fresh one and a boiled one. Actually, we have three types. A half boiled one. Amrita Amanda Saravati Ara Kumbakuri Saramrita Sarvabhaja Ara Sarapuri. There are also papayas and saravati, a type of orange, and also crushed squash. There are also regular cream, fried cream, and type of puri made with cream. Haribalabas Senoti Karpuramalati Dalimamari Chelado Navata Amriti. There are also sweets known as Harivalaba and sweets made of Senoti flowers, Karpura flowers and Malati flowers. There were pomegranates, sweets made with black pepper, sweets made with few sugar and Amriti Jilipi. Notice there are no sweet mushrooms in there. Padmachini Chandrakanti Kadja Kadasara, Viyari Kadma Tilakara, Tilakara Jara Prakara. There were lotus flower sugar, a kind of bread made from urad dal, crispy sweetmeats, sugar candy, fried rice sweets, sesame seed sweets, and cookies made from sesame seeds. Naranga Chilanga Amrita Vrikshara Akara, Pula Pala Patra Yukta Kandara Vikara. There were sugar candy sweetmeats, formed in the shape of orange, lemon, and mango trees, and arranged with fruits, flowers, and leaves. Dati duktanahi takra rasalasa karini salavana mukka mukkankura adakani kani. There were yogurt, milk, butter, buttermilk, fruit juice, and preparations made of fried yogurt and sugar candy, and salty mung dal sprouts with shredded ginger. I'm getting hungry right now. Lembukula adinana prakara achara dikitena papi prasada kateka prakara. There were also various types of pickles, lemon pickle, berry pickle, and so on. Indeed, I am not able to describe the variety of food offered to Lord Jagannath. Again, after all these elaborate descriptions of different food, Krishna's Kaviraj is giving up, saying that I am unable to describe the full opulence of the offerings to Lord Jagannath. And that offering
that prasadam was brought according to the king's order to Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Rasade purita haila artha upavana dekhiya santosha haila Mahaprabhu mana. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw half the garden filled with a variety of prasadam, he was very satisfied. Ei mata jagannatha karina bhojana, ei sukhi mahaprabhura judaya nayana. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully satisfied just to see how Lord Jagannath accepted all the food. Kayapatra droni aila bhoja panchasatta eka eka janidasa donadila eya patta. In fact, devotees are receiving nourishment just by distributing prasadam. Like sometime during the festivals, we were given this responsibility to distribute, serve prasadam to others. And at the end, when you're serving prasadam, then you're taking something by yourself. But I remember quite often, after distributing prasadam, you feel full. You feel satisfied already. There's no necessity for you to eat, to take it by himself. Very mystical experience. When someone is serving prasadam, automatically he is feeling satisfied.
That is the
truth. Well, it's not in bed, isn't it? There can never be enough of mercy. So, more we take, more we want. Devotees are like bees looking for the nectar. And the bees never give up collecting that nectar.
But bees not taking it for themselves only. They're bringing it to the beehive and then they're sharing with everybody. The whole community of bees giving nourishment to the babies and everything. They're not just eating for themselves. They're collecting the nectar and then bringing and sharing. And then they're having their share too. So this is more like a devotee type. There are different types of insects. Some insects, they just eat as much as they can. Fill their belly and then go somewhere else. But not the bees. Bees are very good natured. They have this naturally sharing
Kaya patra toni aila bhoja panchasatta eka eka janidasa donadila eka patta. Then arrived 5 or 7 loads of plates made from the leaves of kitaki tree. Each man was supplied 10 of these plates, and in this way the leaf dishes were distributed. If you went to India, you see those leaf dishes, remember? Cups and leaves, I mean cup and trays made of leaves, big leaves. So each man was supplied 10 of those plates. So imagine the size of the fist. But normally just one. And then there were 10 for each of them. Kirtaniyara Parishrama Jani Gauraraya Tansabare Kavayaite Prabhu Mahadaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the labor of all the kirtan chanters. Therefore, he was very eager to feed them sumptuously. So Mahaprabhu, he understood that after this big kirtan, lots of dancing and vidanga playing, karatal playing, everyone was tired and hungry. So he prepared a very big feast for every member of the Sankirtan party. In the same way it is done in the temples. Sometimes our devotees to go for preaching or Nagar Sankirtan, and other devotees are staying behind and preparing a feast. And when everyone is coming back, all naturally very hungry. Hungry for mercy.
Panti panti kari bhakta ganeva saila, pariveshana kari bare apanela gila.
All the devotees sat down in lines, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to distribute the prasadam.
Prabhu na kaihe keha na kare bhojana, svarupa gosani tabe kaila nivedana. But the devotees would not accept the prasadam until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. Swarup Damodar Goswami informed the Lord of this. Of course, all the devotees wanted to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the prasadam, so they would wait for Mahaprabhu to start. Apane vaisya prabhu bhojana karite tumina khaile keha napare khaite. Swarupa Damodar said, "My Lord, please sit down. No one will eat until you do." It is actually a Vaishnava etiquette. When devotees are taking prasadam, everyone is waiting for the seniors to start taking them first, and then they proceed. And also, if we're to be more strict about Vaishnava etiquette, we cannot leave the table before the senior devotees finish that. But it's not practical in our condition. Sometimes senior devotees take their time. We're still busy with our service. Something needs to be done, and then with their permission, we can leave the place, leave prasadam hall, leave the table, and then go on with our service responsibilities. But usually, everyone waits for the senior devotees to start accepting the prasadam. That's the Vaishnava etiquette. This can be applied at different times and different circumstances, but we just have to keep it in mind.
Bhojana kari vasila prabhu kari achamana prasada urbaila kaya sashas sahasreka jana.
After finishing, the Lord washed his mouth and sat down. There was so much extra prasadam that it was distributed to thousands.
Prabhura ajnaya govinda dinahina jane dukhi kangala ani karaya bhojane.
Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, his personal servant, called for all the poor beggars who were unhappy due to their poverty and fed them sumptuously.
Kangalera bhojanaranga dekite gaurahari haribola baliyatare upadeshakari.
Observing the beggars eating prasadam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Haribol and instructed them to chant the holy name.